Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here. We've got some great tours lined up for 2026. Washington, D.C., George Washington's Mount Vernon, Colonial Williamsburg, historic Jamestown, Boston, Massachusetts, and that greater area. So much to see and do in 2026. If you want information on any of these trips, go to wildmangroup.com, WILDMONgroup.com, and we'll see you on one of our tours in 2026.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Okay, I literally just put my headset on. So I made it.
You barely. Did.
Technically.
You're not huffing and puffing.
This is live radio.
Right.
So if I'm not in my seat, by the time it goes live, you guys have to take it, or well, it's dead air, or we play Perry Como.
So we were actually having this discussion because I think you were getting your coffee or whatever.
Coffee. I got caught by JJ.
You
get caught by JJ in the hall?
Yeah. Because he says this will just take a second.
Cross your legs.
This will just take a second.
Yeah.
So folks, if you're a regular listener of this show and you tune in,
right,
and you're expecting to hear Tim, but you hear me. Okay, that means Tim is in the hallway,
right,
on his way in for whatever the reason, and
or so I'm out of town.
Well,
yeah.
If I continue to talk as the host of the show, that means Tim's out. I usually will say Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today.
Oh yeah. Okay. Anyway, welcome to the program, everybody. It's called Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday. And Wesley Wildman, good morning, Brother Wesley.
Good morning.
Wesley's my Christian brother. He's also my boy. He's my oldest son. Doesn't act like it all the time, but he is my oldest son. And Fred Jackson, our veteran newsman. How you doing, Brother Fred?
I'm doing just fine.
Okay, so we wanted to, what was there any announcement?
What do you got right there?
Yeah, I got something in the mail. Listen, we get letters almost daily. Either emails or letters.
Or sometimes handwritten notes.
Handwritten notes. And they're almost always encouraging.
Yeah.
So I brought one yesterday, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just wanted to read to people to know how we are genuinely ministering to people here on American Family.
Amen.
Radio. I know that sometimes our news is not always good in terms of world events and
right,
what's going on in our country, but... But I read a letter yesterday from a handwritten note from a lady who was 93.
Oh, wow.
And she had great penmanship. 93 years old, she wrote me.
People who are 93 years old generally are going to have great penmanship.
Yeah.
Nowadays, not so much because everyone uses devices.
Anyway, this was a typed-out letter from a gentleman in Virginia. And I won't give his name because I didn't ask him for permission.
Right.
But he said, Dear Mr. Wildman, I hope you receive this letter and consider my heartfelt appreciation for your ministry and the work of American Family Radio. I discovered AFR in 2020 during the COVID pandemic and believe it was God's guidance that led me to your radio station. As a police officer, I spend most of my time on the road and find comfort in listening to AFR during my daily travels. I have been a daily listener since then and enjoy programs like Today's Issues. I've recently become a partner, that is a financial partner with us. He supports us. And look forward to contributing more to your ministry in the future. He said, I recently joined a Baptist church with my wife and our three sons, and they're being raised with Christian values, including our oldest who attends a Christian school. Anyway, he just wanted to say, he says, I pray for American Family Radio will continue to grow, reaching new listeners and bring glory to the Lord by honoring him during these uncertain times. And just some other things that he said here, but it was a police officer in Virginia who found us on the radio during COVID and has been listening ever since. And what he wanted to say was, he also goes on to say here that it impacted our ministry, impacted his life for him to get back in church and get back to taking his faith seriously.
Mm. And obviously the ripple effect to his family.
Amen.
And probably other people he knows. He just joined a church.
Yeah.
Folks, we do ask our listeners to tell your friends and family and church fellow church members about American Family Radio. You're our best form of advertisement, and it's something that helps your friends and family as they listen to
God. You know, we can advertise and we can, you know, do our own promotions all day, every day. But you know how when you somebody you trust says,
"You really need to read this," or "You really need to go listen."
Go to this restaurant.
Sure.
You know, people say something like that, and you say, "Well, you make a mental note." Well, if so and so said it's good food, it is.
Right.
Let's go try it. Something like that. So what I'm saying to your point is, word of mouth in promoting something. In this case, if you would tell others about American Family Radio, we may be able to impact more lives.
Right.
Amen. All right. So thank you for all those who write checks to us and contribute to AFR, because we couldn't make it without you. And thank you for your prayers. And we thank the Lord God Almighty that we are impacting lives, so that we can, you know, impact the kingdom of God on earth. And also, who knows, impact our country, preserve our country, save our country, right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you for listening. All right, Fred, on to the negative news. No, I'm just kidding. Not all news is negative, but we do have to cover things that happen in the world that aren't always pleasant. But there's a big story today, right?
A big story today. You know, in our story meeting a couple of hours ago, I said one of the big stories today was that our military had seized an oil tanker sanctioned by the U.S. I was wrong. We seized two oil tankers this morning. Number one, a ship that was known as the Bella One. All right, the Bella One was cruising this morning, heading, we believe, towards Russia. And it's one of these sanctioned vessels. It was just south of Iceland, and our military forces boarded that vessel. Oil tanker, as I said, was sanctioned some time ago, back in 2024. It was known then as the Bella One. What happened in recent days is that the Russians renamed it the Marinara and painted a Russian flag on it. Well, it has been observed for some time. That wasn't going to fool anybody. And so our forces went in and took control of that this morning. Now, since our story meeting this morning, Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem has revealed that U.S. forces also took control of the tanker Sophia in the Caribbean this morning. Both of these vessels believed to have been involved not only with Venezuela taking out oil to various countries. According to this Associated Press piece, the ship Bella, back in 2024, was allegedly smuggling cargo for a company linked to the Lebanese terrorist group Hezbollah. All right? So a lot of this coming together. So with regards to the Venezuela story, that story continues to unfold on multiple fronts. But the big news this morning, we've taken control of two of these vessels that were associated with Venezuela, both has oil tankers and other cargo, even involving this terrorist group Hezbollah.
Well, the Trump administration don't play. I mean, what we've seen in the last, it's not even, I don't think it's a week. I mean, just the last several days has really been extraordinary. And listen, I was talking to someone here on staff this morning about what is happening, what is clearly happening, and what might be happening behind the scenes. But the Trump administration seems to be absolutely trying to lock down its own hemisphere. And nothing's going to happen here that we don't want to happen. I don't think that what we did in Venezuela was legal in the kind of old way of doing things, just war theory or the way the international order has been conducted. But that is, I think, because circumstances are changing. There's so much uncertainty in the world with, you know, China and Taiwan and Russia and Ukraine and the Middle East, what have you. I think the Trump administration is pivoting to make sure America is protected. And we're going to make sure we have access to oil, which is, I think, the real reason we did what we did in Venezuela. I don't think it was drugs. Most of the drugs, fentanyl, come, you know, China through Mexico. And we're gonna make sure we have access to minerals. And I think that's why Greenland's been mentioned. And it doesn't appear to be tongue-in-cheek anymore. To President Trump's credit, I think he is taking steps to make sure we are protected. We have resources coming into this country because the future is very uncertain.
Well, he did announce that. All right, Wesley, go ahead. You have any thoughts on this, and then I'll wax eloquent.
Yes, you will. Nothing more to add. I think two things can be, not much more to add than what Ed said. Other than, I think two things can be true at the same time. I do think arrests in Maduro was a part of the factor. I think, to your point, I think the oil was probably the bigger part. But I think it's impressive that he's been able. Trump. The military has been able to do what they've done without taking any lives, and how swift they're able to do what they did
without losing any lives on our side.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I meant. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's why you're there, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of the reasons here. I'm not looking for credit.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I never look for credit.
But we haven't lost any lives on our end.
Yes, amen.
And we've been in and out.
Yeah.
It's been swift and quick. And I do agree. The biggest part that I agree with that on is that we are making our presence known in our hemisphere. And it's very effective.
Listen, a couple things here about this. There's so much related to this Venezuela story, and we're going to get into more of it. And it's happening, you know, in real time, and events are happening almost daily. It's impacting the world, quite frankly. This, we, the United States military, imposed an embargo. Is that what you call it, or a blockade? Or both?
Yeah, sanctions, kind of a blockade. You're not allowed to.
What, 2-3 weeks ago? Something like that? Or was it more than that, longer than that?
Well, our ships arrived off of Venezuela back 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah, but anyway.
It's a blockade.
The blockade went into effect, I want to say, like 3 weeks ago. Okay, so I believe I'm correct on this. This particular one ship got through some way because they reflagged. Now, I'm not a maritime expert. Fred, you might know more about this than I do. But ships out on the open seas, it's very important what flag they're flying, okay? That's a signal to everybody, you know, what country is represented here with this commerce usually. So what this, because we had an embargo on Venezuela, they replaced the Venezuelan flag with the Russian flag because the ship was ultimately going to Russia. Again, I hope I have my facts right on this, and I think I do. So when the ship reflagged, they did that so that the Americans wouldn't mess with the ship, right? Because if it's Venezuelan, we'll go in and we'll seize it. But if it's Russian, now, that requires a second thought, because would this provoke something worse and militarily, a conflict with Russia, if we seized a ship flying under their flag? So that's what happened. We waited till it got near Iceland, right?
Yep.
Well, you talk about a whiplash of weather. Yeah. We're going from Venezuela and sailing the perhaps in the Caribbean. And next thing we know, here come these American stormtroopers
in the North Atlantic.
So anyway, do you know, Fred, yet has there been any response from Russia on this?
Not as of this moment.
Okay.
We did have reports earlier this morning that the Russians had sent one of their submarines out to escort the marinara.
This is a hunt for Red October right here, buddy. this is getting good.
This is movie stuff. You're exactly right. This vessel was between Iceland and northern Scotland, and somewhere in there, our forces, which have been monitoring it, Coast Guard vests, all that sort of thing, and they decided they weren't going to let this ship go any further, and they boarded it this morning.
I saw a little notice on the BBC here. We do get the news feeds from four major networks inside the studio while we're on the air, and the little crawler said that the UK helped the U.S. with the boarding this ship.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah, listen, that's why I said there's all kinds of things going on underneath.
Moving parts.
Yeah, all kinds of moving parts. By the way, let me just kind of clarify something I'd said earlier, because Wesley makes a good point. I did not mean to imply that getting Maduro was not really part of what we did in Venezuela. It was all about getting Maduro because we don't want a communist country in Venezuela that has been cozying up to China and Russia.
And Iran.
And Iran. And supplying oil to China.
Who have the largest oil reserves in the world.
Largest oil reserves in the world. And the United States the Trump administration just made a very practical, strategic decision. We're not having that in our hemisphere. Maduro's the problem. He's been indicted. We're going to use that as a pretext.
Right.
And say we're going to go get him. But I don't think it was really about the indictment. I think we want Venezuela to be returned to the Venezuelan people, who are not going to choose communists to run them. And then the oil then becomes what our oil companies did in creating the infrastructure make that oil accessible will now be back in business. So,
In addition to the narco charges, he also has a late library card.
Yes, that's right.
There are three books that are missing.
He has videos that were due back at Blockbuster
years ago. So he's had this against him for this long. We waited.
This is the first time in today's issues that I've been on here where y'all have thrown back something in history that I actually can relate to, which is Blockbuster.
Back to your good old
Blockbuster's
days.
Blockbuster's right there. So anything beyond anything before Blockbuster y'all talk about, I'm out.
I just
sit here.
You might as well just scroll the internet.
I go get coffee. Yeah.
Who would have ever thought Blockbuster doesn't even exist anymore? Who would have ever thought it?
Well, who would have thought the DVDs used to go up, the red boxes?
Yeah, they're gone too. They're gone too.
They were for about 3 to 5 years. They're gone.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Go to AFR.net or listen online or download our app and listen anywhere you go. AFR, American Family Radio, Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. By the way, the news that Maduro had been captured and extradited to the U.S. Was met with happiness and elation and jubilation all over Central and South America, right, Fred?
That is correct. Countries like Chile and others, where many Venezuelans have fled because of the dictator Maduro, are celebrating this.
Well, not only Venezuelans who fled, but other people, just natives of those countries in South America and Central America, realized what Ed was talking about, how Maduro had destabilized basically the region and was terrorizing people. And gangs, the gangs that were out of Venezuela were starting to spread. Yeah. And so
Aragua, I think.
So the polling that they're getting from these places, do you have that in front of you?
I can pull it up.
Well, it was in the 70s and 80% in terms of approval in Latin America.
Yeah. So they are celebrating this the decision by President Trump to go in and get Maduro out. All right, Fred, next story.
All right, next story. Greenland has another spot. President Trump in recent days has said once again he's interested in gaining control of Greenland for much the same reasons, concerns about Russia and China and their military threats to this country. And there's been even talk. President Trump sometimes says things, this is going to shock you, kind of comes off maybe as sounding something maybe he didn't mean. He said something yesterday about even using the military. Now, that upset a lot of people to the
point. You mean to take the fishing village, right? That is Greenland.
A little bit more. Anyway, Denmark, there's a headline this morning. Denmark and Greenland want a meeting with Secretary of State Marco Rubio to have a discussion about this. Now, Senator Lindsey Graham was asked about this. He was on Air Force One the other day with the president. He was asked about, you know, where does he see the Greenland thing going? Here's what he had to say, cut number 14.
I'd like to build up the American presence in Greenland, economically and militarily. That would be beneficial to NATO. I got a call today from the Danish ambassador. This will be a work in progress.
That was Lindsey Graham?
That was Lindsey Graham, yes.
Why would the Danish ambassador call him?
I think Greenland they're worried.
Greenland is under Danish control.
Yeah.
Isn't it called the Kingdom?
Kingdom of Denmark.
Kingdom of Denmark.
I mean, it's got a democratic government, but it does still have a king.
Sounds like a Disney movie, doesn't it?
The Kingdom of Denmark. The Kingdom of Denmark. King Triton.
Well, I just say let it go. That's what I say. Let it go.
Well, you could sing it if you wanted.
I will later. I think the reason I'm asking is the Denmark ambassador is calling Lindsey Graham, a senior member of the United States Senate, and probably on the Armed Services Committee. I'm not sure, but he's probably to talk. Say he's probably calling him to say, what in the world is your president talking about here, taking over our country? Not our country, but
territory.
Our territory that we're a part of, Denmark.
So Greenland, I mentioned earlier, the oil in Venezuela, Greenland. So I typed in a little search for this. This says, Greenland possesses vast and largely untapped mineral resources, including rare earth elements. So this is incredibly important for computers and computer chips and chips and phones and all of that. And it lists a lot of those. One of them's called scandium. I've never heard of these. Neodymium.
Toothpaste. Yes. That's right. Scandium is. Look on your ingredients on the toothpaste. See if you don't see scandium.
Scandium
on there.
You get distracted quickly, though, as you begin to read them, because you'll say, now, is that one on there, too?
It's very important. Very important mineral.
These are critical for electric vehicles, wind turbines, advanced electronics, and defense technologies. The island hosts some of the largest alkaline rock-hosted rare earth elements deposits in the world. Okay, so that is something obviously of interest to the U.S. because China is a competitor when it comes to these rare earth minerals.
Yes, but yesterday too.
Dad, in addition to that, Dad mentioned he read an article about the importance of the strategic military locations as well.
Because of the not only the closeness, proximity to Europe, but also to the Arctic region.
That's right.
Which is being contested by
Russia. Well, also, they say if missiles come over from Russia,
yeah,
they're going to come right to the U.S. or Canada. Uh-huh. They come over right, come over that. If they go there, they come over that.
That's right.
I will hand it to President Trump. He is making every effort. When he says make America great again, he is making every effort to ensure our future. You can debate about and argue again about the technical legality of what we did in Venezuela. But should the world come into a time of a lot of instability or even World War III, we will want to have resources close at hand to keep our economy functioning.
And this is not exactly just a, grab and go situation with respect to Greenland. This isn't just, there are some legitimate claims to why we need a presence on that island. We'll talk about that when we get back from beyond what you've talked about.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues, the name of this program. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred here. Okay, fellas, so I'm seeing what's happening with the U.S. and Greenland.
Yeah.
You said, Ed, we were off the air and we were talking. I read reports of 30 to 50,000 people.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's how many we have in Tupelo.
Exactly.
Okay.
Where our flagship station
right.
is.
Right. So my question is, well, I'm thinking ahead. I'm 63.
Yeah.
No, I'm 62 and a half. I'm going to be 63.
I know what you're going to say.
63 in March. I'm not a fan of cold weather at all.
Right.
Below 50, I start complaining. Huh?
A lot.
I shouldn't.
A lot.
I shouldn't. But I do it anyway. And so when I get to heaven, I'm expecting 72 and clear. That isn't what I was going to say.
You really will get 72.
Yeah, that's right.
As opposed to the Muslims.
But we're looking out ahead here, and we all have to look out for our own retirement, right?
Yeah.
We need some money.
I know what you're saying.
So you follow me here?
I'm going to move right next door.
There, that's what I'm talking about. Ed and I, we're on to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the United States of America is fixing to go over there and write $1 million checks to every one of those fishermen. Okay? We all know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that we can buy Greenland without having to send the Rangers in,
or a 99-year lease.
That's right.
Yeah.
A 99-year lease.
That's very strategic. China's buying up cropland in the United States.
Yeah. So
yes. That's true.
That's true, Wesley. So Ed and I, we get us a summer home.
Yes.
And
it'll be our primary residence
in Greenland.
So we'll call it.
And we'll wait for the U.S. government to come around with their $1 million check for us.
Yep.
How many people are thinking like that right
now? Because what Europe is saying and what the Kingdom of Denmark is saying is that Greenland's future should be determined by Greenlanders.
And it's about to be.
We'll open up the check.
And so the fishermen in Greenland.
Yeah.
Are going to have to decide, do we want to continue to go out here and try to harpoon whales, or we just want to take the cash from
they can do that part time. They can harpoon whales they want.
They could do that.
They can club seals.
It for recreation, not for survival.
Hey, did y'all know? Trivia question: that the majority of Greenlanders were they came from North America. So I just want to say they're part Americans already anyway.
Well, I thought they were European.
No, so, I'll find answers.
Probably Canadians over there, Fred.
Might be
Canadians decided to go east. Go east, young man.
They follow the cod. Wherever the cod goes.
Gotta love that codfish. Good codfish sandwich.
All right. Wesley, you going
to... There we go. Descendants... They're descendants who migrated from North...
Did you say migrated?
Migrated.
Okay, just want to make sure I'm interpreting it.
Migrated. You want migrated?
People listening in Michigan so they could understand what you're saying. You're saying migration, right?
You can... Yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
You want the shun on there?
No, I'm going to be quiet. Read it however your dialect speaks to you. Go ahead. Read it.
Descendants who... These are the origins of the people that live there.
In Greenland.
In Greenland are descendants... who migrated from North America with some Norse settlers. Norse.
Norse, N-O-R-S-E. That's like Viking people.
Yeah.
Big so, right, Ed?
Big Vikings.
Yeah, around 1200 AD. So there you go.
Anyway. All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. You're listening to Today's Issues. And joining us now is Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast, which is a very popular podcast here on our website. If you go to AFR.net, you can download any of Sandy's shows. She does two times a week. Just a lot of excellent inside information you won't get anywhere else. You can find that on AFR.net with Sandy Rios 24/7. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim and gang. How are you guys?
Good. Sandy, do you want to buy a home in the new neighborhood we're going to develop?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but could I give a sober response? See, what's happening, you guys, is this whole relates to the Monroe Doctrine, which I don't think people are familiar with. And the President I can't talk. I was just in a very long meeting.
You were going to give a sober response? Go ahead.
My brain has emptied itself of its contents in the last meeting. But no, President Monroe made this part of our foreign policy. And the reason he did, I think it was 1832, something like that, mm-hmm. Because it was European powers like France, Britain, Spain, all had designs on North America. They were still trying to do colonies. And so America at that time was concerned that we were vulnerable if any of these foreign entities from another hemisphere came in and started building bases and structures and building power bases in our hemisphere. And so it has been American law since that time that Americans have a right. We are the big dog in the Western Hemisphere, and that we have the right to go in and extract any group or nation group that's coming into our hemisphere and trying to do something dangerous. Now, with Greenland, China is very involved there. There's a lot of fishing. You probably heard this. A lot of fishing. There's waterways. That's what's involved there. And then, of course, you know, in Venezuela, the deep issue there is that we have Russia, we have China, we have Iran. All of our enemies are using Venezuela as a launching pad, taking the oil and using it to do all kinds of terrorism around the world and drugs for us. It's a mess. It should have been stopped a long time ago. So this is all, from my perspective, part of President Trump really restating, reinserting the Monroe Doctrine to make us safer. Because as long as they can have a base and Chinese can travel in those waterways in Greenland and build up a military power up there, we are in much more danger. And so that's why this is happening.
Yeah.
I kind of tongue-in-cheek, some people had started calling this now the Donroe Doctrine.
Yes,
for
right.
For Donald Trump. Yeah. Instead of Monroe, it was Donroe.
Yeah, they're and, right.
Well, this reminds me, although I was a mere infant at the time, I think. I don't know. When was the Cuban Missile Crisis?
62.
Okay.
Yeah. The Cuban Missile Crisis.
I was in my mama's belly.
Oh.
at that time. But I know about that, the Bay of Pigs, what happened there. Well, that was separate from the Bay of Pigs, never mind. That was separate from the Cuban Missile Crisis. Am I right?
Yeah, so it gets confusing.
It's separate.
But there's two different issues, but they're separate. Yeah.
But back to my point about the Russian missile crisis, which was the issue that John F. Kennedy had to deal with when he was in office, is the Russians were wanting to establish a beachhead, so to speak, in the Caribbean, or 90 miles from Florida. And with missiles,
right.
And President Kennedy said, "No, you're not going to do that. Not in our neighborhood.
Right.
You're going to set up missiles in Cuba." And so, you know, that was a very tense moment in the history of our country. But to Kennedy's credit, and to the the Lord,
yeah,
we were able to avoid a nuclear confrontation there in that situation, or at least some kind of war, act of war. So, but that was really invoking the Monroe Doctrine as well, right?
Right. Well, yes. The whole notion. Yes. The whole notion that we are not going to let some foreign entity from a different hemisphere come here and establish a stronghold, military and otherwise. We have the right. Control them, to kick them out. And that's why, you know, that's why Venezuela. You know, the other thing is just on China. You know, China has, they've done so many things to expand their influence. But one of them is the Belt and Road Initiative. I'm sure you heard of that. They've gone into Africa. They've practically swallowed up all of Africa with, you know, promising to build roads and all of these things for the sake of presence and power. I have a friend that's from Zimbabwe, and she told me the Zimbabweans hate the Chinese because they have just virtually come in, and they're sucking out the lifeblood in the economy of Zimbabwe. That's just one country. Well, they're doing the same thing in South America, and they were just getting ready to sign whatever you do with China, to make an agreement with Venezuela to develop a Belt and Road Initiative in Venezuela. So that's one of the very important things that was happening that we had to stop.
Yeah, with respect to communist China and Africa, it isn't that Africa is a militarily strategic place to be. It's that the businessmen representing the communist Chinese government want access to all the, we mentioned this before, and just talking about it with Greenland, the natural resources.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
And the minerals and all those things that are available. So the Chinese, very influential on the continent of Africa by, as you say, Sandy, promising to do things, and sometimes in the case, doing things.
Yes.
To help the infrastructure or the people of Africa, because Africa is poor, and Africa is, you know, many ways a third world continent. So they're going there for those reasons. But yeah, so the Chinese are spreading, their tentacles are reaching around the globe right now. And I think with respect to Venezuela, President Trump said, maybe he's talked about China here, but you know, related again, back to the Monroe Doctrine, you know, President Trump came in and said, the Panama Canal, you remember this?
Right.
The Panama Canal, which is essential to commerce of the United States. My goodness. I mean,
And Jimmy Carter sold it to China. Let Panama sell it to China.
Yeah. What an idiotic move that was. You could argue treasonous in a way. But anyway, the ships would have to go around the tip of South America. And not to mention, I think President Trump was more concerned, too, about our military.
Right.
Having access to the Panama Canal, right?
That's on his list.
Okay. And I think can look for Panama to be, next. Cuba and Panama may be next.
Okay.
To be picked
So let me just say this, and you know, I'm not a military expert or a geopolitical expert, although I get confused for being one at times.
Yes.
You know, when I'm out at dinner with people.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. When President Trump came in and he started talking about taking the Panama Canal, okay, I think we've all learned now with President Trump, his words are he just throws them out there, okay? That's just his personality. And sometimes he says things that you would go, you really, as president, shouldn't say that like that, okay? Or at least that's not always the way we've done it, or that's not going to be helpful. I mean, all right.
Yeah.
So oftentimes we learn six months later or a year later, you go, now I see why he said what he said.
Yeah.
So that's just the way it is with him, and his political instincts on these matters are.
And the team around him.
Yeah. The team around him are very, very important. So when we heard him say, well, we're going to take the Panama Canal back. You're going, what in the world? You're just going to go in there and take over the Panama Canal because you can. That just sounds wrong, you know, to most people. But then you go, wait a minute. He's talking about.
He's got a plan. There's a strategy. There's a reason.
He knows that China's coming in, and they may take the Panama Canal themselves.
Right.
Well, and then they already, of course, they already had. And here's the thing.
They already had.
Tim, we. Yes.
Okay.
The Panamanians had turned over control of the Panama Canal to the Chinese. So that's that was already, and as I said, that happened during Jimmy Carter's time. So that was just horrible what he did. And so no one did anything about it. And so that's, he's taking care of business. And one thing kind of funny, well, amusing to me, you know, the Chinese, you don't know probably, but I know because I just did a show on this a couple of days ago. The Chinese have been selling military equipment to Venezuela. And guess how that worked last week? That military equipment that China sold to
Venezuela. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it didn't work well.
And then, you know, the bodyguards for Maduro were Cuban.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Right. Well, yes. The Cubans have been in Venezuela for years. Yeah. Let me.
Boy, they're advanced.
Now, let me try to make this clear and save my, you know, long passages here. But when the Soviet Union fell, the Cubans kind of took over because the Russians had come down in South America and Central America. You remember all of those uprisings because the communists believed in taking over by military control, you know, forcing their way into governments. But after Russia fell, they devised a new plan, and that was to take over through the democratic system. Maduro was one of the first in Central South America that did that. He was elected fairly way back when he was elected, but he immediately started, not Maduro.
Chavez. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Chavez did that. He got elected, and then he began to disband the Supreme Court, the legislative establishment. He began to take over businesses.
Persecute churches.
Yes, and then you couldn't get him out because he did away with the Constitution, but he was elected to the democratic system. And so that's what's been happening, Tim, and that came from Cuba. So, because Castro was one of the ones that devised that plan. So the Cubans came into Venezuela, I guess after Chavez, I'm not exactly sure where, but they've been there for years, and they have been the ones controlling the place. They've been the ones enforcing all of those horrible draconian things on the people of Venezuela, the persecution. That's been the Cubans.
Do you know whose stature has risen greatly in politics in the last few months?
Please, Tim. I don't do this.
Well,
don't talk about me like this.
You need to stay where you are.
Yeah.
Okay. I really don't think you should run for anything. Okay, you're more valuable to us than you are. Being county commissioner. You don't need that people calling you telling their ditch is backed up, okay?
Yeah.
Trust me. You don't want that. Or I got to get these wild dogs out of my yard. Something like that.
You've been listening to my phone calls.
Are the alligators after the elephant
in Florida,
trees, right?
Where Sandy lives, you get calls about, hey, commissioner, you got an alligator in my backyard. What are you going to do about it? Marco Rubio, the former senator from Florida.
That's true.
Florida, and the current Secretary of State, because, you know, I know President Trump himself deserves the most credit for some of these big items that have taken place that benefited peace and stability in the world, like taking out the Iranian nuclear facilities.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Marco Rubio's stature has risen. Whatever that looks like in the future, I'm not sure. I've heard that he and Vice President Vance are, they've both set out, they're buddies, they're tight friends in the administration, and if they may end up running together next time around. Of course, we're a ways out from that, a couple of years
out. Three more years of taking over, blowing up boats and taking over land.
Yeah. So anyway.
Asking questions later.
That's right.
All right, Sandy, well, what do you got coming up on your next podcast?
Good question. No, I do know. I just did a bunch of them. I got to remember what I just did.
Okay.
But the ones that just ran, I interviewed Dr. Paul Coyer, who's an international expert, works for the Institute of World Politics. His wife is Venezuelan, and we talk about why Trump took out Maduro, which was, and then, oh gosh, this one. There are absolutely stunning new revelations about excuse me just a second. Sorry, my voice is giving me trouble. There are stunning new revelations about the 2020 election and the fraud thereof. And there is a whole team that's been convened that you wouldn't have heard of, and I just heard of it because I know someone involved. I just got through with an hour and a half briefing, further information on this. And I can't, I guess I can say, what I can say is, you might recall that Tulsi Gabbard at a cabinet meeting, I believe the first one, said out of the blue, we are all over what happened with the voting machines in 2020. That's basically what she said. And so, excuse me, I can tell you that there are people that are pulling out all the stops. There are people who have turned evidence. This is going to go into the courts. There are people that were very involved in making this happen, this fraud, and they've been under protection now for the last year or so, and they're going to be testifying. And there's a whole lot more to the story. It's not time to break it, but let me just say it is. We did talk about it in my last podcast, Stunning Revelations on the 2020 Election. Mm-hmm. So I would just commend that to people to
listen
to.
Well, as long as someone goes to prison, I'm tired of investigations and no one pays a price. You know, there were revelations out of Georgia about voting irregularities and outright fraud. I just want someone to go to prison.
Yeah, well, that's actually that is part of this effort. Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. There's all kinds of stuff breaking loose. And what's going to happen is they're going to have factual information. You know what the media always says. This is not really true, but they always say the courts heard this and, you know, there was no real evidence. Well, that was never true. But now they're going deeper and there's going to be real, indisputable testimony and evidence and real documents to prove what many of us have thought for a long time.
All right, Sandy, take care. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, you guys.
Oh, Sandy, before you go, Tim and I will send you a brochure about the cul-de-sac we're going to be setting up.
That sounds like fun, actually.
In Greenland, on the coast of Greenland.
Again, the idea is sinister on our parts, but it will benefit but it will benefit us financially greatly if we go ahead, get our property set up in Greenland, and then we act shocked and surprised when the American government offers us to pay us a lot of money so that we become a territory.
Yeah, a vassal state.
We don't have to worry about the, as Fred said, fishing for cod like a living. Okay. We'll just play the part of fisherman.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it.
All right. Okay. Good to talk to you guys. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. If you want to listen to Sandy's twice a week podcast release, what do they need to do, Wesley?
Go to AFR.net. That's AFR.net. Click podcast, and there you can. She has all of her program or all of her podcasts archived there.
You just scroll down.
Yep, scroll down.
Hey, I want to tell everybody to go take time today to go to AFR.net because I was looking at it this morning. AFR.net. That's our website, and then you have the podcast, which are, you can listen on demand. You just, it's very easy to do. Don't be intimidated by the word podcast. It's very easy to do. And we have podcasts here from all our shows. And Sandy's show is very popular. Sandy Reels podcast. It's called Sandy Reels 24/7. All you do is go to AFR.net and you can see it for yourself. And then I text Stephen McDowell, my friend at the Providence Foundation. Mm-hmm. He's the president of the Providence Foundation and the historian, and many people listening to us have been on our tours where Stephen provides commentary. And his podcast is getting like 20, I think in December, like had like 23,000 downloads, which were...
Who was this?
For a relatively
I was one of the
podcast.
20.
Yeah. Stephen McDowell's.
Oh, okay.
It's the America's Providential History Podcast.
I see it right here.
And if you go there and click on there, you'll see he's got shows running back from, let's see.
He did a really good Christmas series leading up to Christmas Day.
Yeah, where's the history of the podcast, though? I'm looking
scroll down
there. No. If I go on AFR.net.
Click here.
Okay, click on that.
Click on it and scroll down. And that's how you pick the topic that you...
Okay, mine's not showing that, so...
Well, just click on it. Okay.
It's not. Because you've already clicked on it.
Okay.
So if you were to go back now, you'd say...
Pardon us, folks. Talk amongst yourselves while fool around on the internet here for a minute. What am I supposed to do here
All right,
now?
Click on that.
All right.
All right, now scroll down.
Wow,
keep going.
That's just...
Oh, no, Tim's right. Yeah. It's not showing it. It's showing up on mine.
I'm telling you, the Chinese have bugged my computer. People don't believe me.
Yeah.
But it's
show him what you're looking at.
I see what he's looking at, but it's not on mine.
It's not on his.
Maybe we got different browsers.
I meant show him what you're looking at so you can continue describing what you were trying to do. So,
okay, well.
Yeah, so there's a list. January 6th, America's Decline and What to Do About It, Part 1. Obviously, that's going to continue. December 30th, Christ's Ever-Increasing Kingdom, Part 4.
These are
four,
the ones I listened to.
Part 2, 3, 4, all of
them.
Anyway,
there's some great podcast there on our website, AFR.net. I was just recommending two there, Sandy Rios 24/7, and then Stephen McDowell's America's Providential History. The only place you can get that is right here on AFR.net.
You got Frank Turek, you got Jenna Ellis. You've got Trivia Friday.
Friday, we archive those shows, the podcast, those shows. Today's Issues, which is the number one downloaded podcast show on AFR.
Maybe in the world. We don't know.
We don't know. But again,
maybe.
Sounds like we're bragging.
Right.
But they say that if you can do it, it's not bragging.
Is that right?
Have you ever heard that before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. We will take a short time out. Fred, sorry you couldn't speak any more than you did. But
that's okay.
Happy cod fishing.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.